Please turn to page 183 in the Gold Prayer Book. We are chant the Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra, which is between the two lines toward the bottom of the page, three times. Page 183. Tayata mune mune maha munaye soha tayata om mune mune maha munaye soha tayata om mune mune maha munaye soha. Now turn to page 34 and we'll read the four immeasurables in English one time. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. I'll turn to page 37, and we'll chant four immeasurables chanting version and then the two mantras at the bottom. And in the white binder, it's just the Tibetan words by the music notes. Sen chen tam che de wa song de we yuna dem pa yu chi du. Chenrezig's mantra 8 times and Green Tower's mantra 7 times, keeping in mind those on the prayer list I just read and those in your hearts and minds. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om tare tu tare tu re so ha. 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 children are welcome to go to their classes.
Good morning. So maybe few minutes meditations. Okay, a few minute meditation. So maybe I would like to read some stanza from this book. Before that, before I read something from this book, this book is composed by one of the Indian masters called Shantideva. Shantideva. A wonderful book to read, you know, to study. So, like to say a few words about meditations, okay? First, meditation. Well, I said this probably many times, you know, kind of, sometimes kind of feel strange saying this again. Excuse me. In samsara, means our own existence. Samsara means our own existence, okay? In Buddhism it's called, it's also good to look, you know, what is samsara, meaning of samsara. Samsara is another place, but it's like, life is very much has an impact by action and thought. Not necessarily, you know, like positive thought, So anyway, in samsara, you know, there's everybody has issues. Everybody, even though we look good, we smell good, yeah, we still have problems. So that's the truth. Whether we like or not, that's the truth. Everybody has problems. So in samsara, that we are not going to be happy all the time. That's the reality. So there's too much to expect. Too much expectations to be happy all the time. Samsara, you know, is hard to be happy all the time. But, you know, doesn't mean that we cannot try. We must try, you know. So all the happy, that's like everlasting vacations. According to Buddhism, that's like nirvana, moksha, liberations. Then you liberate. If you really, like, you know, like, think of all this, you know, up and downs, you know, in the samsara, then according to Buddhism, what you do, then you put effort to liberate yourself from the samsara. So then you could liberate, you know, yourself from the samsara. So then when you liberate, so then there will be no problems, you know, then like all the time they'll be happy. So within the samsara, it is good, you know, even just having a knowledge about samsara will reduce unrealistic expectations that we have, you know. So in the samsara, then problems related to the body, you know, all kind of problems related to the body. So then we try to solve their problems, rely on, you know, knowledge, inventions, new inventions, you know, like the medical expert equipment, so there are so many things that we rely on. Directly, indirectly, you know, there's so many things, you know, then the people, the facilities, equipment, then the knowledge, then of course experience, all of that, you know, then helps us to overcome from physical problems. So that's how we solve. So now there's another problem, you know, mental problem that related to the mind. So therefore, meditation is like that, you know, meditation is also like the method, you know, method how to deal with, you know, the difficulty that created by mind. All the appearance is the reflection of the mind. Or you could say it's the nature of mind or reflection of the mind. The nature of that mind is empty. No, it's nothing there. It's like clear sky or maybe still clear still lake. Things reflect, you know. Looks exactly the same, but it's not. It's just a reflection. So, nawa same tombe rangshis. Nawa appearances, same mind, rangshi nature. All the appearances, you know, is the reflection of our thought, our mind, our thought. That thought, nature of that thought is empty. So that now kind of leads towards understanding of emptiness, and from there, how to solve all the problems through understanding of true truth. Conventional truth and particular ultimate truth. You know, what is that? So then in order to understand true truth, in order to have like profound understanding of true truth, you need to understand Four Noble Truth. That's in the first teachings the Buddha gave, Four Noble Truth. There's problems. Why there's problems? You know, it's just random or just coincidence, it just happened for nothing. But if it happened for nothing, so then there's no solutions. It just happened. You know, maybe there, and behind that, you know, there's many different views based on different, as a major religion traditions, there's different views. So in Buddhism, you know, everything is dependent. There's no independent. There's no independent happiness. There's no independent sufferings or complication or pain. Everything is dependent. Everything is dependent. So, you know, when it comes down on mental difficulties, it's like more complex and more, you know, difficult and more deep. So therefore, meditation, I think something to, you know, to, it is a method, but it's not just tradition, it's not just, you know, there's all Buddhists, they do meditation, no. No, because somebody who is not Buddhist, they also have mind. Not just only Buddhist has mind. No, everybody has mind. Doesn't matter whether you believe in something, not believe in something, we all have mind. We all think. So the meditation technique to use how to make your mind calm, peaceful. Then basically, you know, like how to not to give any opportunity, you know, to other thoughts, okay? So now, say healthy body, healthy mind, healthy mind. Within the mind, therefore, you know, that in monastery we studied this mind and mental factor, this particular text, it all talks about 51 different types of minds that we have, 51 primary mind, not like, you know, of course, every day there's like probably hundreds and hundreds of thoughts, I'm not talking about that, but primary if you do one mind. Huh? So, then, you know, it is like, I say, ancient Indian psychology. That's what Buddhism is about, you know. Ancient is not just belief. Oh, of course, partially, you know, that's like His Holiness Dalai Lama said, oh, part of the Buddhism is religion, part is like philosophy, then part is like, you know, kind of like psychology. So, means, psychology means like, what is the meaning of psychology?
Study the mind.
Oh, study the mind. So when you come down to mind, not out of bias, but you know, Buddhism has the more information than any other major religion traditions. So, and that's coming from Nalanda tradition. So, so they did so much research and did a lot of studies. So, so that's study of mind, psychology study of mind. Or, so then within the mind, that's how, you know, you hope for happiness all the time. I do the same. Nobody, you know, nobody, even though samsara is, you know, filled with complication, everything comes with the complications. That's the nature of samsara. That's not something that you are doing wrong. That's just the nature of samsara. You know? Everything, you know, comes, everything has comes with some kind of complications. So, when it comes down to physical well-being, we do all kinds of things. You know, it works. It works. You know, people invent new things. You know, we follow their, you know, guidelines, all of that. It works. If you just read the prescriptions, never take medicines, probably that's not going to heal, right? Yeah. You need to take. Shanti Deva said in this book very clearly. So now here, you know, you and me, doesn't matter, Tibetan, American, you know, Asian, doesn't matter, we are all think, we all think, we all want, we all wish something good, something, you know, positive. That's like, right from the beginning, that's what we wish. We don't wish any problems, we don't wish any suffering. So, so I don't think there's anybody in this planet wishing for some kind of sufferings. I don't think so. Regardless whether you believe and not believing in something, Buddhist, Christian, you know, all of them. So now when it's come down on mental happiness, what we need to do according to Buddhist, how is it, mental study, mind study?
Study of the mind.
Study of mind. Within the mind, there's some of them are not healthy, some of them are healthy. So unhealthy mind cause problems, such as anger, jealousy, pride, disrespectful, all of that. That unfortunately we have all kinds of thoughts, you know, we have all kinds of thoughts. Not every thought that comes up is positive. That's the reality, you know. We may not like to hear that, but that's the truth. So that's what meditation means. Meditation means just, it's not like, you know, just sit down like, you know, like that. So even nowadays there's a postcard, the cat. You see cat, postcard, the kind of like very tranquility. Even the dog. This is just called sitting position. It's not really meditation, you just sit like this. How when you meditate, traditionally that's how you sit. Probably Robert can sit. Robert, can you can make Robert to sit like this? with comfortable mind, comfortable cushions, comfortable mind. First thing, what do you do when you sit down? You check your mind. That's how the meditation began. You check your mind. If you're already angry, you can't meditate. You cannot meditate. Nobody, not just you, nobody can meditate with negative mind, nobody. The purpose of the meditation is to reduce, you know, to reduce minimize the disturbing thought. That's the purpose of meditation. So, gondop nimochuwa. The purpose of meditation is to reduce. Therefore, you cannot meditate with negative mindset. You can't meditate. So therefore, you just sit down, you know, comfortably sit down, nothing to rush, you know, just sit down. If you decide, okay, next 5 minutes, I'm going to, you know, try, you know, to just sit comfortably. And first thing, what you do, analyze your mindset. If your mindset is, if your mind is already disturbed, then what you do, you breathe, okay, you breathe forcefully, like, of course, before you do that, you need to clean your nose. Oh yes. Forcefully you exhale, like from nose or from mouth, doesn't matter. Forcefully. Forcefully. Just imagine that your disturbing mind comes out with this force of, you know, that's like with that force of exhaling. You can imagine that your disturbing thought is something like, you know, smoke that comes out. How does it sound? Huh? What we think does matter. What we think does matter. Thinking is important. That's how we solve all our mental problems, through thinking. We do need to think. But we should not think something negative. That's not good. What we need to do, we should think something positive, to try to educate yourself how to think something positive. Minute you wake up, try to educate yourself how to think something positive rather than negative. So, doesn't matter, don't even sit like this. No, if you are laying down in your bed, no, when you wake up, you are thinking something positive. That is meditation. You know, there is meditation. You can call cow meditation. I'm just joking. There is a meditation. You think, you know, something positive, you know, something positive. It's very important. You know? If you can do that, you don't have to believe in anything. You don't have to believe your life will be fine. Not just this life. If there's something goes on beyond this life, that life is going to be fine too. You know? If you think, if you manage to think something positive. Oh, positive. So why I'm saying this, there's a gondob nimochua, the power or purpose of meditation is to reduce, not to become Buddhist, not to become Christian, not to become believing or something, simply to reduce disturbing thought. Simply to reduce disturbing thought. We have more people with positive thought, whole community benefits. Right? Whole community benefits. No? More Christian, more Buddhist, will that guarantee? Hard to say. People with more positive thinking, will that guarantee? That will guarantee safer world. No questions. So, more people, you know, more people thinking of something positive. Then I think the whole world, you know, get benefit, whole community get benefit. You know, there are people who are really nice people, very kind, very gentle. They don't believe in anything. Absolutely fine. They are nice people, you know. People benefit. If they are your neighbors, you know, you are happy to have neighbor who is very kind, very gentle, very caring. This is what is the matter. So the meditation, to gomdob nimochua, simply to reduce disturbing thought, not to, you know. Yeah, if you have less disturbing thought, more likely you will, you know, create more. Less likely you will disturb other people if you have less disturbing thought. So this is very important. Sit, you know, comfortably and check your mindset. If you find out your mind's been disturbed, like, you don't need to make noise, but, you know, breathe forcefully, imagine that your disturbing thoughts like comes out of your systems like the form of black, like some dark smoke, and goes out of the house and out of the, you know, disappear. Then slow, slow breathe in, then breathing in all the positive energy form of white light. Then do that maybe 21 times. First do 7 times. Begin with exhale, slowly exhale, that's from nose. Exhale. After that, if you find out your mind has been disturbed, then what you do? You first breathe forcefully. Then just right after that, imagine the disturbing thought comes out of your body, form of, you know, smoke, and goes out of your room. Will that help? It will help. It will help. It will help. Why? When we think something negative, after one thought, oh, I really don't like that person. That's the beginning. But not just there, you continue. Oh, the how he say and look at me and like where he walked around in front of me, I remember every detail. When you keep going like that, does it have impact on your life? Yeah. Because you are thinking. If that's the case, other side, if you're thinking something positive, there will be impact. Huh? That's why I'm saying what we think does matter. Doesn't matter, regardless of, you know, Buddhist, Christian, atheist, doesn't matter. So, so that's why, you know, just imagine that goes out of your system, like body, or house. That kind of technique, will that have any positive impact on your mind? Yes, it will have positive impact. Oh? You look at the other side. Oh? So then after that, then you come back, then you exhale from your nose, inhale, one, okay? Exhale, inhale, there's two. Each time you inhale, count. Do 7, breathe, take breath. Then do again 7 more times, take breath. Take break. Then do 7 more times. Take breaks. Then it becomes 21 breathing meditation. That's what we call 21 breathing meditation. You can teach your children, you know. actually, the children are pretty happy. What do you think? They are pretty happy, right? They like to play. They are more flexible. We grow, you know, when we are children like that, we like to play, you know, like something, eat something nice, you know, so then when we grow up, we become very sophisticated, everything becomes very serious, every word becomes serious, every appearance becomes serious, so then become very, very tense, you know, so that's not how we grow up, that's not how we're born. We're born very much like as an innocent, you know, everything that you see is all something to play. Oh, no, this is very serious thing. This is called prayer veil. You should not touch this. But when you touch this, there's a way to touch. It doesn't matter. There's something to play. Anyway, so, then you can teach this meditation to your children, you know, if they want to learn, so you can teach them. If they want to learn, you can teach them. If they don't want to learn, then it's hard. So then breathe and do that, you know, 21 times, okay? 7 times, take breath. 7 times, take breath. 7 times, take breath. And see, does it help? If it helps, then please continue. Then please share. Teach other people, just share, you know, share. Then that's good, you know, it's good. So that's like 20, then it's called like 21 breathing meditation. So okay? 21 breathing meditation. Why does religion is to help. It's there to help us to overcome from problem. That's all. Why? Because everybody want happiness, nobody wants suffering. Therefore, somehow it helps people to think, oh, there's something much more powerful than themselves, than having a devotion towards that, somehow relieve them from certain difficulties. So therefore meditation is, you know, one of the techniques, or meditation one of the techniques. So I would like to read, you know, a few stanza from here, Shalidhar's books, you know, probably this book is written around 8th century, in northern India, Nalanda Monastery. You know, now you only see the ruins. Oh? So there's the one of the biggest Mahayana Buddhist universities, you know, ever exists in India. Oh? So now only you see the ruins. They produce so many scholars, you know, such as like Nagarjuna, Shantideva. So his book, now this book is written in 8th century, you know, monastery. In my monastery, many monks, you know, I just saw the new list. Every year they listed how many people remember, you know, certain books by heart that they memorize. So in this year, this book, that my monastery, Sarah Monastery, Devu Monastery, Ganam Gandhi Monastery, they put a list how many monks they memorize. This is the most text they memorize in the monastery. That's like close to 100 monks know this text by heart. Here the sections I'm reading, let me see. It has 10 chapters. This section, the chapter is called like guarding alertness, introspection, you know. If you have that every time, that's very good, you know, like you are interacting with the people, with anything, like, oh, all of a sudden that you are drinking the tea, that you somehow, there's somebody calls something, you drop the cup. There's one set of mind is observing every movement. Oh, you know, before I just go crazy and just curse, you know, maybe hit someone or maybe scream. Now, you know, if I drop that glass, you know, I'm okay, you know, I don't curse, but I'm, you know, still thinking, oh, this is not worth to sacrifice my happiness, it's just glass. It just went down. The glass, not just whole wall went down. It's just glass, you know. See, the way we lose our cool, actually it's happiness. So easy, you know. It's so easy to lose. It doesn't require much. Something small, we just sacrifice our happiness. It's something very small. This is very important. It's not really important at all. Somehow our mind makes it so complicated. And the bottom line is not that important, you know. It's not that important. I told you many examples. It happens every day, you know, day to day, like, it's a reflection of the mind. It's a reflection. What we see is the reflection of our mind. The mind, the nature of that mind is empty. There's really nothing. There's no shape, there's no color, you can't really see. It's all reflections, you know. So therefore, there's like this guarding alertness or introspection is quite necessary to have. That means, what that means? It means another set of minds observing the whole situation. So when you interact, all of that, that means being mindful. Okay, being mindful. So this is the chapter about the guarding alertness. So this is a different word on this. Lava Sungan Deva, he said, Rabdu Dinde Sende Sungs, Lava. You know, commitment. Or for us is vow. Vow. For Sangha member is vow. For everybody is for like some kind of commitment or discipline. Or discipline for commitment. Or. There are discipline they created by the society or community. There's a discipline, what you call self-discipline. This is all for well-being, for yourself, well-being of oneself, and discipline. Labha, for monks and nuns, vow, for generally speaking, is like, you know, discipline, or discipline, no? That's probably a better word, discipline, no? Labha suma, deva, you know, you set up some form of discipline, no? Or maybe, you know, like, once a day, one M&M, what do you call, M&M? M&M? M&M, what is that?
Candy.
Yeah, M&M, some of the little one. So it tastes so good. M&M. Once a day. Nobody says, oh, you could only have, no. You're all grown up, once a day. They're self-discipline. Huh? What that requires? That requires some kind of concentrations. Without concentration, that's what Shandi they are saying. Without concentrations, maintaining self-discipline is very difficult. That's what Shandi they are saying. Labha suma deva. For monks and nuns, vow. To maintain the vow, to keep the vow, you have to have some kind of mindfulness or concentration. Without that, it's impossible to keep them. This is not order. Okay? This is, if someone out there wants to maintain or protect discipline, if someone out there who wants to maintain or protect self-discipline or vow, in my case, Labha Suma Devai Rabdo Dinde Sentisus. So anyway, my here, after this, you know, looks like there's not much time left today, so maybe sometime next time, I would like to have discussions about fear, all kind of fear that we face, we have fear or cause of fear, or how to tackle the fear, what kind of knowledge is required to minimize fear, or thinking about impermanent, does it help? So I just want to discuss that. You know, that's the whole point why I'm reading this, chapter number, the particular chapter number five, about guarding early alertness. That's why I'm reading this. But I'm afraid, so by the time when I reach the fear, probably time will be over. If someone out there who wants to maintain self-discipline, what you should do, rabdo dim de sin de sung, with effort, protect your mind. That's what I say. Rabdo sin de sung. So, sin de sung, imagine, if you cannot protect your mind, just forget about protecting your self-discipline. It's not going to happen. The social deal said. Rabdo sin de sung, imagine, lava sung, you may say. Sin de lambo yen ta, sin de lambo. Elephant like mind, if you just let it be, if you don't pay attention towards your mind, that mind is like elephant, so powerful. No? You do need to give some attention, otherwise that's so powerful, you know. If we encounter elephant in the wild, how much attention we give? So we give all our 100% attention there. Did you ever encounter elephant, wild elephant? When I was in monastery, you know, in India, so my monastery is located in South India, there's elephant all the time, you know, hear elephant in the room. Ha ha ha! It's kind of the elephant in the room that is not visible, they can't see. Elephant in the room. So then I guess you encounter elephant all the time. When I was, you know, doing this 1 year Tantra course in Jumen Monastery, around 5 o'clock, between 5 and 6, we group of monks, you know, from Devon Gandhi, so who was doing this 1 year course, we take a walk, just, you know, like just hang out. That's, you know, that's how the monks hang out. They just, you know, take a walk in the wood. So we are, you know, it's around, it's not really dark, it's like getting dark, but it's still there, light out there. We are walking, talking, you know, like chatting, just telling some story, making jokes, just walking, coming on. All of a sudden we hear this big noise, like the bushes. And I turn, looks like a piece of rock, huge piece of rock. Turns out there's elephant. It's from here to there, you know. That window, not very far, but there's bushes. So, you do need to give your attention, otherwise it's a matter of death and life. I just ran. At that time, there's no bodhicitta. There's no altruistic intentions, you know. Been talking about that whole life, but when that moment, just thinking of my life, to save my life. I just ran, and then all the rest followed, ran. And then like there's a couple of local people, they are coming towards the monastery to sell their milk. They just, as we say, you know, like elephant. They just throw the bicycle, the milk, everything ran, you know, so they could. I could not remember how I ran. My body and mind separated maybe 2 seconds. Couldn't remember. Just ran. And still then after that, you know, like probably a couple of minutes, I realized, oh, what happened to all my friends? And look, before that, you know, like, yeah, so that's called guarding alertness. Oh, yeah. So then, so now we are trapped between death and not elephants. Then we are now going towards there. Then there's somebody say, oh, there's a group of like whole herd of elephants coming from there. There's nowhere to go. So you don't know where the elephant goes. Not probably the elephant came at night into the bushes, got stuck there during the night, not able to get out, just there. So anyway, so they say, oh, whole bunch of herd of elephants coming there. So finally, so just say prayer, you know, we just saying prayer, hopefully there. So, but you know, we never met those group of elephants. So, Simji Langbo, no, mind like elephant, very powerful. If you don't pay any attention, or if you just ignore, or let it just go wild. So, that's why Shakyamuni Buddha said, you are your own protectors, you are your own enemy. That's exactly what it means. No, mind. Nami neva shabatarsho. Lanji matu neva nevishesho. If the real elephant become crazy, how much damage that elephant can do? Probably, you know, it doesn't cross. But this elephant like mine, if that become out of control, yeah, millions of people could lose their life. Millions. Not just like wild elephants, no? History, we know history. When you look at history, everybody knows, so. The actual elephant, the crazy elephant cannot do that much damage, but if this internal elephant gets wild, goes out of control, the damage can be massive damage, you know. Therefore, goodness can be a tapa, you know. Mindfulness is like rope. Mindfulness is like rope. Simji lambo tamtama. Mindfulness is like ropes. Mind is like elephants. So if you can tie that elephant with that rope, Jigba Thamje Meje, that's what I want to talk about. That's the line I want to talk about. Jigba Thamje Meje, just think about that. All the fear will disappear. Who said that? Shantideva said, I didn't make this up last night. Who said, Shantideva said, when? 8th century. We are in 21st century. Is he qualified to talk? Yeah. He wrote this book. This is the reflection of his knowledge, the piece of paper. Oh. Jigba Thamje Meje, I really want to talk about this, not here. Mindfulness like rope. See, if you hear someone going through a lot of fear, you feel terrible, you feel very bad. What you can do? There's very little you can do. If someone is hungry, you can buy them food. You can solve that quite easily, no? If someone is cold, you can buy them a piece of cloth and give them to them. If someone living under the constant fear, what do you do? There's very little you can do. You feel something, but there's very little to do. Here's something that we all can do. Here's something that we all can do as an individual human being. That's all we can do. Is like mindfulness like rope, Senji. Couldn't have that power. Senji Langbo. Mind the elephant, if you can manage to tie that elephant, how? Think something. Or focus on breathing. Or focus on something, one thing, not just 100 different things. Could be color, could be flower, could be tree, could be anything. Just sit down, think. First look at. Then close your eyes, then try to see that object in your meditation. Just concentrate. It's not going to happen right away, no. It's not going to happen right away with effort. With effort, just think. That's called concentration meditation. That's what it means. Just think something, one thing, concentrate. See if that makes your mind calm, peaceful. And see if that minimizes the fear that we have, This book has no copyright. Anybody can translate it. Shanti does not make any money. You know? All these wonderful books, all these books here, is free of copyright. Anybody can translate. These people have no intention to make money. That's not their intention. Intention to just benefit, that's all. So, Jigba Thamje Meje, talking about the fear, you know, some of my friends, and you know, like have like, how is it, I pray all the time, I pray, so I'm not sure how much, you know, impact that have, but I do pray every day, you know, like people who are, whom I know, pray for them, but you know, the best things, if you try something, you know, according to Shantideva's text, if you manage to tie that elephant with the rope like mindfulness, doesn't have to be a holy image, you know, no need to worry, oh, I go to Katamasana, I need to visualize Buddha. No, you don't need to visualize Buddha. What you need to do, you need to learn how to tie that elephant with the mindfulness of rope. You will get immense benefit. Your mind becomes calm, peaceful. Then, as I mentioned before, everybody will benefit from that. Everybody. Then they just think of doing this for happiness of all living beings. And there's truth in there. You know, it's not just saying, there's truth in there, you know. If you are calm, peaceful, people like to be around. If you are always like nervous, like negative, nobody wants to be around you. No, people have all the issues, they have the issues on their life. They don't want to be around someone who is always negative, kind of angry, you know. Nobody enjoys that. All the fear will disappear. Is that true? How we can tell? We have to try. We have to try. We must try. And see if all the fear, not right away, you know. So see if the concentration, meditations, will that help to reduce the fear? Then all the positive things come in your hand. Just in your hand, that means you don't have to go out, it will come right there, you know. Then you see, you know, fears towards tiger, fears towards lion, fears towards elephant, all of that. It's like, this is just example they use, fears towards tigers, lion, elephant, snake, enemies, fear towards, they talk about hell realm, all of that. If you can tame your thought, your mind, it's equally all training, controlling all of that. If you can control your mind, it's like controlling all of that, controlling everything, everything. Just want to share that with you. Tera jigwa pamjeta, all the fears, all the problems, simply due to mind, due to mind. Who said that? Shakyamuni Buddha said that. How you can tell? We need to think, Every day to day life. How many complications there, related to the physical body? Well, we don't get headache all the time. Some people do get headache. We get headache here and there sometimes. Not all the time, there are some kind of physical problems. But it comes to our mind, Every moment, throughout the day. So you watch your video when you go to bed, and you'll see. With video, your own video, in your own video, review that. So I just want to share it with all my Dharma friends here, and just think about it, okay? Chapter number 5. This is about guarding alertness. So it's talking about basically single-pointed meditations. It doesn't say single-pointed meditation, but it is single-pointed meditations. That's what Shantideva was saying. Through single-pointed meditation, that's the way to try your elephant with mindfulness, like rope on the object. Object that you created, Your own breath, Or maybe, could be no color, could be anything. Just think something. Just think one thing and place all your attention on that object. Next, few minutes. To do short. Begin with the short, many. If you become very familiar, few, long. That's how the meditation is done skillfully. If you want to do the unskillful way, then long, very, very long at the beginning. Next time when you see meditation cushions, you feel like to throw up. So that's called unskillful way of doing meditation. In the beginning, short, many. Short, when you become familiar, then long, then few. Just try, every day, try a little bit, every day, 1 minute here. Don't become serious. Okay, so that's the problem, don't become serious, With effort, do, happy to do, not just do, happy to do, for my own, happy to do. That's very important, joyful effort. Not just do, but it's just easy. It's not, nothing is easy. Nothing is easy. Even making a tea is not easy. You need to boil water, you need to have tea, you need to put like sugar, Even nothing is easy, Cleaning house is easy, not easy. Thinking, that's quite easy. But when you're putting into practice, it's not easy. So, Yeah, with that, if you, we still have like, Sobje 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 Sobje. We have like 15 minutes, so if somebody, if someone you like to contribute, talk a little bit about the fear. So my whole point is about the fear. Today, whole point is I'm just thinking this morning, thinking about how, like, what kind of technique that we can use to reduce our fear, you know? Yeah, if anybody wants to contribute, please. Without pressures, no pressures, you know? Anybody want to contribute? It's about, yeah, please, yeah, please say, yeah. I think we all get benefit, what do you say? Yeah,
yeah, a couple of weeks ago you had the weekend seminar, and you talked started on single-pointed meditation, and I wasn't able to come to the Saturday, things came up, but what could I find that somewhere? Is it recorded, or?
I think it's recorded. Is it recorded?
Yeah,
it's recorded? Yeah. Okay, because it sounded very good and very interesting about going deep into the single-pointed meditation.
Oh, thank you. That's like the explanation is based on the painting that
yeah,
we had.
And it had the elephant and the, yeah.
Yeah, all the yeah. Whole painting, yeah.
Yeah.
And then?
Hi, I have a question about the meditation.
No.
When you focus in an object, at least with me, what happens, and I was wondering what to do about it. Mm-hmm. Like when I have that image in my mind, and somehow that image start kind of mutating, changing colors and changing forms, and it's hard for me to keep the original image in my mind. And I sometimes don't know what to do with it when that happens. Should I try to always bring back to the original image? Or I let it transform and see where to go.
That's like very common problem for everybody. Very common problem. If you want to see one, you either seeing two or three. If you want to see two, then you see either seeing one. If you want to see red, you either seeing yellow. That's very common problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what we need to do is see. For example, you use this is just an example. If you use this as the object, you know, it doesn't have to be like that. Oh, I'm going to just concentrate on this letter. That's pretty common. Om, the sacred word.
Mm-hmm.
It's commonly used, you know. You just create your mind Om, any color, you know, what is that color that's sweet, very suitable for your mind, you create it. Or now I can, now I'm seeing whole Om. Well, now I'm just, you know, seeing like, not whole Om, but I'm just seeing the dot. Dot, what's it called?
Dot.
I'm just seeing that, grab on that, just grab on it. Not to worry about not seeing whole Om, but just wherever you can grab, just grab there. Then try to expand, try to go back to the whole Om. Huh? Like that. So then, anything like, you know, then if you then, you know, start to seeing like, not seeing Om, maybe seeing like cookies or something like that, you know. Maybe instead of seeing Om, you are seeing like chocolate chip cookie from the Whole Food. So then I think, see like, then probably need to, in the meditations, all start over. Hmm? You can, you know. See, the best time to stop, the suggestion of the text is when you feel good, stop. Don't stop when you feel terrible, you know, like, oh, I can't meditate, you know, I'm not good. The text says, when you feel good, okay, maybe say, oh, I can see, you know, it could be like 1 minute. You know, out of a minute, 30 seconds, oh, the object is quite clear, I'm happy, stop. So next time try again. Oh. It's not good to stop when you feel very bad about meditation, then that's not good. So that's very common problems. Try to visualize the red, seeing yellow, all of that, that's common problem. So, but you need to bring it back. Bring it back a couple of times. If you can, just stop. Do something else, you know. Doesn't do something else. There's a time. You know? Thank you for your question.
You.
Hello. Yeah. I've come to notice with fear for me. Well, with a lot of emotions. When I meditate, I kind of learn. Like, there's three phases for me. The first one is if I'm kind of in that moment and I need to meditate. You mentioned something about it's not good to meditate if you're anxious or you're worried. Or I kind of do that though. I find that it helps if I identify whatever feeling I'm feeling. That's the first thing I identify. Is it anxiety? Is it fear? Is it happiness? Is it whatever fear, whatever the intense emotion that I'm feeling? I identify it first. Then I go to the second phase. I go, is it neutral? Is it good? Is it bad? How is it making me, you know, feel? Or, you know, once I identify that, this is where I have the hard problem. This is what I'm working on now, is basically looking at the emotion and stepping away from it. All right? Like if you're looking at a tiger out in the woods, maybe you're looking at it and you're hiding behind a bush, but you're not really scared. You're just observing it. That's where it gets a little bit difficult for me. Now, I'm working on it, and it's practice. I've noticed that it's just like working your bicep or something. Your brain, your mind, is just, it's practice. And the more you do it, the easier it gets. Now, at the same time, if you stop practicing, you can regress a little bit, you know? But you always remember where you left off, you know? That's how I'm... That's how I see it a little.
Very good, wonderful, very good, yeah. So therefore, you know, some form of daily, not like once a while, you know, because mind is here all the time. The meditation cannot be like once a while. Now, if mind is there once a while, then meditation can be once a while. It's not like mind is here all the time. So wonderful, yeah, very good, yeah. Yeah,
I can identify with you. I've had psychiatric anxiety disorder all my life, and doesn't matter, 24/7 I'm always scared of something.
Yeah.
So you have to meditate even when you're in fear. Sometimes people have no choice. And that will end up controlling your fear. But also when you're feeling good, you have to take advantage of that time and work harder.
Mm. Yeah, that's very interesting. Now, you know, I think viewing like fear as something negative, you know, that's also not 100% correct, you know. And some cases, you know, you do need fear in order to build something, you know. Without fear, like, you know, so probably if you have been studying Buddhism a long time, probably you know what I'm talking about. Fear, you know, viewing fear is not something entirely negative. It's also, you know, it's not 100% correct, you know. Fear can be, how you say, like, can be breached, you know. If you just live on just on me, so I will say probably positive, you know, positive fear. Or maybe like more like bridge, it will probably, you know, lead you to somewhere like bridge. You know? So not just entirely see something negative.
Yeah, this is for a person that I'm working with, I teach at Nash Correctional.
Yeah.
He teaches meditation. And he can't see anything but darkness, nothing but darkness, you know. And so he tries visualization. He says that with his, he can see his parents, his mother or his father, face to face, but then when they leave the room, and he tries to bring that image, he can't see the image. It's just darkness. So I wonder if you had any advice that I could give him on how to overcome that.
Any advice, please? Any advice? Yeah, any advice, yeah. You all have something to contribute. Please contribute, don't be shy.
I think that sometimes, because I felt like that before, and that's kind of like numbness. you feel numb. You know, maybe for me, that's what it was for me. You know, you you have an experience or whatever. Whatever it's going on in your mind, whatever, however you're processing, sometimes you become numb to things, you know. And that's not a good place to be either, you know, because you're not feeling, you know. But for me, I think it was like I couldn't visualize. I understand that, you know. And I think it's because maybe you don't want to at the time or whatever is going on in your head, you know. But with time, I guess it that went away for a while, you know.
Yeah, there. Yeah, please, yeah. Yeah.
So in terms of fearness, I think that it's not very different to fear a lion than to fear when you are meditating and you start feeling like your body dissolves and you start not feeling your body. That was very scary for me. Kind of like I'm dying or something, you know, at the moment I'm meditating. It's like you start not feeling the material, the physical body, right? It's just like somehow you start like feeling only energy. And
I feel like it's like disappearing?
Yeah, kind of. But your body's here, it's just that you don't feel it anymore. You just don't feel the body, right?
I think that's very good news. What do you think? That means you are getting close to see emptiness.
So what helped me is like study a lot of death. Studying death helped me a lot because at some point I was very scared of that. And then I read a book, another book, another book, and then now I'm happy with that. I understand, and it's part of life. It's just the other side of the same coin. So when I started understanding that, that relaxed me. Mm-hmm. And when I meditate now, I don't have that problem of being scared. So I understood that kind of. I think that the death of a lion, the fear of a lion or the fear of your body not feeling when you're meditating, not feeling your body, is really being afraid of death, kind of thinking that you exist somehow physically in a material way, and not realizing that you exist in a higher level, right? And I think that what you said about that person is very tense and is trying to forcing to generate a phenomena or generate something. But when you meditate, you shouldn't forcing yourself to anything. Yeah. You just need to let it go, and you don't need to expect that you should see anything. It's when that person imagine should only imagine the sensation. You don't need to care about like you see the very details, like you see a picture here. It's that's not required. The only thing you need to really feel is the sensation of feeling that quality of what you are trying to generate. So if you just feel the compassion, if you just feel the love, if you just feel infinite love, that's enough. You don't. It's good. It doesn't matter if it is a dark, as long as it's a darkness full of love. So then, that's very good meditation. That, you know, but that person maybe is forcing to.
Yeah, very good advice. Okay, just the two of them.
My hand is German. Oh, I was just in answer to the gentleman's question, sorry my voice, and to follow up on what you said, softening a little bit, maybe just softening a little bit around, sounds like he said it was really kind of in a dense place and that darkness is like a block. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's, you can't move from there, so it has to soften a little to something. I don't know, something a little playful, maybe not, he's not ready to go playful, but something just a little bit less, maybe just his breath, only the breath, something that's easy. Mm-hmm. And I think like with children, you know, we kind of come up with these sort of creative techniques, like they have bad dreams. Well, telling them to do the single point meditation in the middle of the night, you know, it just doesn't really work. It's a lot of a discussion and arguments and whatever. So, you know, I took something from Little Bill, the TV show that used to be on. I don't know if he's... Anyway, it was the magic quilt technique. So that is, you have a quilt and you have pictures on the quilts. And so when the dreams come, then you put on the magic quilt and you look at the things, and it has the ice cream cone on there, and you remember the time you had the ice cream, and it has, and you have certain things on the quilt, and you just keep looking at those and remembering all those things that went with it, and then there's no room for the bad dream anymore because it's gone. But something that's with the child. Now this person, obviously, that might not quite be the right technique, but something where you use your own creativity to move them into a softer.
That's very good, yeah, very wonderful, yeah.
Yes, I wanted to make a comment about that, and what you were saying is that maybe at that time, that's what he needs to accept. This is what's happening right now, and just to accept that, and that will help to relax. Rather than contracting up, you know, and seeing it as a block, then you're putting that in your mind. It's a block. No, just see, this is the way it is. Yeah.
Last one.
To like remember your mother's face, it might be difficult just to put the face there, but to bring her up in context, like if you remember your mother chopping wood, it's easier then to bring her up because it's an image from, you know, your experience with her. So it's the same way, like with if you're trying to remember a flower, it's a tulip, you can remember it comes from a bulb and grows toward the sun, and it could again tie you to that object, and just by putting something in context, it might, you know, help to bring the memory up.
Yeah, thank you very much. Carol, we have time for one or no?
Not really, but we can do it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, please get the mic.
Who is it?
Hi, I was just thinking, just accepting for what it is, mm-hmm. and in that acceptance, and in that surrender, it'll change the whole experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. Oh, wonderful. Yeah. So now please, we give each the big round of applause. Five, six, applause for him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everyone, you who contributed, so just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Good to know, so to hear, because you are talking out of your experience, you know, that helps. Oh, yeah, so the mic is not happy, so I know. Time to stop.
In the Gold Prayer Book, turn to page 246, and we'll read from the book that Geshe-la was just quoting, from Master Shantideva's Bodhicaryavatara. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merit. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food, may the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy, may the forlorn find hope, constant happiness and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid, and those bound be free. May the powerless find power, and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.
Oh, thank you very much and happy Memorial Day. And enjoy your vacation with positive thought.
Thank you, Geshe-la. Just a couple of brief announcements. Today we are going to bid a temporary farewell to Venerable Tendrin, who's already taken a powder, so we just have an empty cushion here. But as many people know, Venerable Tendrin has taken a one-year position as resident teacher at Tupten Ling in South Florida. And she's an official FPM teacher, and this is with, this is on the request of Lama Zopa Rinpoche. She may be here next weekend, but we're anticipating her coming back within a year. But that's something we can all rejoice in. She's been a longtime member of the center. I was looking at some pictures the other day, and I saw one, where Don was sitting in the front row and Venerable Tendrin was in the row behind him. She had a sweater on with big shoulder pads and a lot of hair. So I don't know how long that means she's been coming here, but we can certainly rejoice in the wonderful work that she's done for Kadampa Center and for the FPMT by going to a center that, you know, wanted to have her come as a teacher. So that's really great. So if you get a chance to see her before she leaves, please give her a big thank you. Now, Jill has just a couple announcements.
I have a trifecta of announcements. Okay, so these are three invitations. The first one is Sunday teas today. You may have noticed setting up some tables. So it's taking the place of our former potlucks, a little easier, a little more casual. So there's some ruby red watermelon out there and some really nice salads, so feel free to join in. The second one is Venerable Amy is coming next week, and Don is not here today, so I'm announcing to remind you. So it's Friday night, all day Saturday, all day Sunday, amazing teachings. If you've never heard her, she's clear, simple, and she's just a wonderful, wonderful teacher, very warm and loving. So we want to encourage you to think about if you, we have a lot of expenses to bring a teacher here, but not just to cover those expenses, but to think about, to gain the ability to, in your own mind, to have teachers visit again and again, or to have teachers in your life again and again for all your lives. Sponsoring the teachings is a great way to do that. So if you'd like to go to our website, you can find it. So there's a button, you can just type in Venerable Amy, or you can hit the calendar and you'll click and it'll take you through to a sponsor page. If you have any questions, you can just email me, centermanager@blah blah blah. And the third announcement is an invitation to a party. It's just an after-the-teaching party, but it's June 12th, and we're going to begin. I kind of tickled that out before, but now it's really going to begin. The 25th anniversary starts this June 12th. It's going to carry us all the way through June of 17. We're going to celebrate for a whole year, as Buddhists do, you know, just crazy celebrations. So we're going to pick something each month and have a little something happening in the Gampa. Of course, it will be very reverent, I'm sure. Except for this Sunday. We'll have a guest star coming in, which should be quite fun. And then simply going to go to the stupa and have a party, just like today, with food and snacks. But we want to encourage you to come. And I forgot to pass out. Carol, could you help me with that? Just pass those out. That's it. So feel free to have some snacks. Thank you.